Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. This is the Best of Technology Nostalgia episode. I'm Shane Northrup. I'm going to guide you through this podcast and make sure you guys get your member berries ready for this. Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. Now, I have a question for you, Jonathan. When was the last time you dusted off your old VCR?
Well, considering it's in my archive at my parents' house, it's been quite a while.
Yeah. Every once in a while, my dad and I will dust off some of the old, you know, some of our old Barbarian movies that we got from the 80s, and we'll watch those. But so officially, Japan is making its last ever VCR this month. So the VCR will no longer be in production. Now, it might be a surprise to some people that the VCR is still being made. But apparently, according to these figures, 7,500,000 sales worldwide were made last year on VCRs.
I'll be honest. I'm a little sad about this. One of the particular reason why is there's a lot of great movies. I bet not the best movies that never made it over the transition.
Yes.
So we are going to lose, as a movie buff, we're going to be losing stuff. And that actually breaks my heart a little.
Well, and it's interesting to note, let's talk a little bit about VHS's history.
Have you ever thought about traveling a different path? What if you embarked on a journey to a faraway land? To volunteer in ways you never dreamed of, in places you never imagined yourself being. Like a remote village in Peru, a classroom in Botswana, or a tiny island in the Pacific. What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. It starts with a one-hour application and finishes with a lifetime of memories. Apply by October 31st and start serving by spring 2017. For more information, visit peacecorps.gov today.
So when VHS came out, it came out alongside of a different home video format called the Betamax. And the Betamax was arguably better than VHS, but VHS came around and beat that machine down and put it in the dust. It also got rid of laser discs, which were also better than VHS.
So a little bit of trivia. A lot of the tech pundits I've listened to over the years contribute something to beating Betamax. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
Porn.
Interesting.
I've read and I've heard, I don't know how much is true, but I've read a lot about it, how they say, because the people who did Betamax were very controlling about what content was on their tape.
Okay.
The people who did VHS, which if I remember correctly stands for the video home system, didn't care.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. A lot of things got, like, a ton of content was on the VHS. They moved a lot of old films over, straight to video stuff where it was coming out all the time.
And it was also, hold on, let me, a moment of silence. It was also what created the movie store.
Yes.
Which my childhood was filled with wandering the aisles of my local mom and pop shop.
So it's also important to note that VHS wasn't replaced by DVDs until officially 2008. People were still buying VHSs. People were still, you know, using their old machines, and videos were still coming out on VHS up until 2008. So it is a beast that refused to die, and people are still buying them because they still have their VHS tapes and they're still playing them, and you can get them at thrift stores. And
the hardest thing, though, is nobody releases anything anymore on VHS. That was the number one thing that was hard. You could go to thrift shops, your local record store that has tapes. But yeah, that was the number one thing that was hard to find. That's why a lot of people got those, like those combination DVD VHS tapes.
Yes. Yes. That was a really big thing for a really long time. It still is.
Which, by the way, uses the world's strangest cord, HDMI to composite a component.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is really hard to find. If you want to find it, you're going to have to order that particular cable online only.
Or go to Fry's.
Oh, Fry's.
So one of the things that's really interesting to note, here is a quote from a specific video collector. It said, "These movies feel too good and cleaned up on DVD and Blu-ray, as if they were never meant to look that good. You can see the mistakes they are made, bad makeup and everything. Watching them on VHS is closer to the old drive-in or grindhouse theater, the way that the director intended it to look." So I agree and disagree with this guy's point in several ways. I do agree that if you try to watch Independence Day on DVD or Blu-ray, you'll definitely be able to tell that those little aliens are puppets. And if you watch a lot of older movies, you can definitely see that it's not, like, it doesn't look that good.
But I'm curious, like specifically like what movies, for example, like you're talking like 50s sci-fi, you're talking 70s movies,
well, I'm
like 80s
even movies from like the 90s with animatronics and stuff like that.
I'll give you that. A lot of those movies look really bad on DVD. Was this like 50s sci-fi, for example, looks great.
Well, but then you also get stuff like, you know, like some of the green screen stuff like that they used to do. They used to just like literally set up a screen and like use a video projector behind people, and you wouldn't be able to tell on VHS, but you could tell on. But I do think that he is wrong in the fact that movies were never meant to look this good, because you could always play things back on film projectors, and film projectors show things even more clearer than Blu-ray and DVD even can. Like, technically, DVD is standard definition. It really bothers me because, like, okay, so a lot of people bought DVD thinking, oh man, it's going to be so much better than VHS, but really what's important is the TV, not necessarily the player.
Oh,
so
no,
if you're playing a DVD on a really bad tube TV, it's going to look like garbage. But if you play it on a HD TV, it's going to look good.
No, totally. It depends on the other things that on the DVD side. It really depends if it was cleaned up. If you get, like, say, a Criterion Collection, which each of those movies are painstakingly restored, they look amazing.
And so this collector also needs to realize that movies like VHSs are pan and scanned. Movies were shot professionally in the 16 by 9 format. Mm-hmm. They're shot professionally in the 16 by 9 format, and when you go to the theater, they were always played 16 by 9, and the projection qualities of film were actually pretty good. It's just once they brought it to VHS, it got really bad, and then they had to pan and scan.
The other thing is a lot of these people they don't mention was the fact that the film they used was greater than standard definition.
Right.
So you've got movies that are, if I remember correctly, some of them are even in 4K, you know, when they were actually filmed. So if you scan them up and clean them.
Even more. Film is technically 16K.
Is it really?
We're not even at the level of film digitally yet.
Oh, wow. See, so, I mean, I do have to say, I do agree with him in one aspect of it's the nostalgia of it.
Yes.
If you're watching, I wish I could pick a particular movie. I'll say Goonies, for example, one of my favorite childhood classics. Is, you know, when you're watching that on VHS, on a CRT monitor, for me, that brings me back to when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and it's just, it has the crappy grainy quality, and if it's a little bit of an older tape, it's even better because it's been played a while, and the tape's a little distressed.
And it's been loved.
And it's awesome. But on the other hand, sometimes when you're watching at a digitally restored version, you're watching what the filmmaker wanted. For the filmmaker, yes. It's not necessarily about the grain and quality. Because, by the way, if he wanted to look grainy, he would have made it grainy. Back then, it wasn't hard to do. Now it's not hard to do. So you're watching in like the mind's eye of what the director originally wanted.
Do me a favor, Jonathan. Do you like the Mad Max movies?
Yes.
So do me a favor and go back and rewatch The Road Warrior on Blu-ray. Now, I had always watched that film on tape, and there were some things that, like, I was just like, oh, man, this is a really low-budget movie, but I really appreciate the production design. I really appreciate, like, you know, the characters and everything, and I didn't really care so much about, like, the cinematography and editing and everything. Now, go back and watch it on Blu-ray, because that film is shot so beautifully. It's actually done really, really well. Like, it's shot almost even, like, the Spielberg standard of shooting. It's just because it got panned and scanned and slapped on a VHS tape, it looked like garbage. And if you go back and watch it now, like, it's beautiful. Or go back and watch, like,
Go
ahead.
I would say if you watch the new Mad Max movie that came out, it's shot exactly the same. And you want to know why? It's the same freaking director. It looks amazing.
Yeah, no, the Road Warrior looks so good. And it's a shame, it's almost a shame in my mind that it got degraded by VHS. As much as I love VHS and as much as I'm nostalgic about it, I'm like, I don't like to watch Star Wars on anything but VHS. And the one time I actually did watch it on Blu-ray, I realized how beautiful that was shot too.
I would say a couple of different things. One of the things, especially about Star Wars, is there's a couple of different things going against it. Star Wars has never fully been released in its original theatrical release on Blu-ray. So the version like I watched as a kid, and yes, out of the two of us, I'm considerably older, is the fact that I cannot buy the version I watched as a kid on DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, that's why I have it on VHS and I watch it on VHS.
See, that's one of the reasons for me that I'd love to find a VHS copy that was like never opened, for example, because then I would get it transcoded.
It still would be in 4:3, and it still wouldn't look good.
I would for me it. Since I'm a major film nut, part of it for me is preserving my childhood, yes, preserving classics. And even though it's panned and scanned, and unfortunately, when you transcode it to VHS, it looks awful. It's not as pretty. But you're preserving something to me that needs to be preserved. Now, this is a little bit of a rabbit hole. I hate it when filmmakers edit their own movies, like what Lucas did. To me, that's a travesty.
No, I agree. I understand the thought process of, oh, you know, a movie is never done, it's just abandoned. I understand that, but we don't remember the special edition version. We don't like the special edition versions. We want what we were given originally. And the biggest thing about Star Wars is that it doesn't really, I hate to say this, and don't crucify me, audience, but it doesn't hold up as well to some of the other films. The biggest thing about Star Wars is nostalgia. If you were to, I know a few people that were not raised with Star Wars and didn't see Star Wars until their 20s. And when they saw Star Wars in their 20s, I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but this is a big thing. When they watch it in their 20s and they didn't grow up with it, they're not as in love with it. You know, they're like, oh yeah, that was good.
Oh yeah,
when you've grown up with it and you've been raised with it, if you've been born into it and bred into it, like the first time I saw Star Wars, I was like 5, so it's a part of my blood. Like I love Star Wars, but I completely understand other people who don't feel the same way about Star Wars that I do.
We're definitely getting more into the movie show,
yeah,
conversation, but I will say, to end it, this part of the conversation, I will say Star Wars uses a lot of tropes. I mean, I love Star Wars, but there's a lot of archetype characters. If you really look at it, it's a soap opera in space. I'm really sad about the VCR going away for the things we mentioned. Part of it is because the VCR was a big part of my childhood, and that's the one thing I think is bad about modern times is there's no stores, there's no rental shops anymore.
Yes, that's something that's been depressing me since they went away. I really liked being able to go to the store, look at my movie, check out the box, buy something that, you know, maybe came out straight to video because sometimes those were good. And, you know, just enjoy the whole experience in that way. There's something to be said about breaking out and dusting off the old VHS player and watching some old classics.
So I do recommend, if you're somebody, say, like myself and Shay, I do recommend getting a hold of one of the last VCR players if they actually made American Region NTSCs. Put a box, wrap it in plastic wrap, put it in the attic, and save it for future generations. Because I guarantee they're going to find one of these mysterious black box cubes and go, what the hell is this?
And they'll probably fall in love with it.
Exactly.
This has been the Golden State Media Concepts Nostalgia Technology episode. You've just heard about the VHS player. When we get back, we're going to talk about Pepe the Frog. So please, stick around.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
So speaking of the internet and people being angry, apparently Pepe the Frog has been designated as a hate symbol by the ADL.
So what exactly is, or who exactly is Pepe the Frog, since I don't know who he is.
Ever been on Facebook or Twitter, you've seen that little frog meme where he's really sad, that really gross-looking frog, or you've seen the one where he's like smiling and it says, "Feels good, man."
Okay, possibly.
Now, Pepe the Frog first appeared in 2005 at artist Matt Furry's Boys Club's cartoon. That's where he first appeared. And he got kind of famous for a 2008 comic where Pepe has his pants down and he's urinating and it says, "Feels good, man." So that's kind of like the origins of Pepe the Frog.
Now, how did it become internet hate speech?
Okay, this is what's great. So basically, and a lot of people consider 4chan, 8chan, and Reddit as being breeding grounds for all matter of inflammatory imagery. So because it became a meme, a lot of people put Pepe the Frog's face over things like Donald Trump, or there have been some anti-Semitic and mean things that the people have done with Pepe the Frog.
But I mean, that's with anything. I mean, that's with the Scumbag Steve meme. It's the guy with a backwards hat. That's attached girlfriend thing.
Doge has been used inappropriately.
So what is there anything that particularly triggered this? Because
yes, Hillary Clinton. Let me tell you a little bit about this. So after Hillary Clinton said most of Trump's supporters were a basket of deplorables, Donald Trump Jr.'s kid, Donald Trump Jr., put a alternated version of the movie poster, The Expendables, on Instagram, showing Pepe amongst Trump and a bunch of other conservative figures labeled as the deplorables. In response to that, Hillary Clinton said, "Donald Trump," and I quote, "Pepe the Frog and white supremacists, an explainer on why that cartoon frog is more sinister than you might realize." And so now the ADL has labeled Pepe the Frog a hate symbol.
What?
Yep, because Hillary Clinton said so.
Now, I would totally be okay if they said that about Rickrolling. I don't know. For one thing, the internet definitely has a lot of reactionaries, and I think this is an overreaction of a meme that, honestly, unless you're of a certain age, I didn't know who the heck the Pepe the Frog is. I do think this is something that's a little jumping the shark.
When somebody told me about this, they had to actually show me the picture for me to realize like what he was talking about. Like, I knew about Pepe the Frog, but I didn't know his actual name. So, this is a quote from Jonathan A. Greenbalt, the ADL CEO. He says, "Once again, racists and haters have taken a popular internet meme and twisted it for their own purposes of spreading bigotry and harassing users."
I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but that's all memes. ADL,
and his quote isn't even like, listen to the rest of this. This is what gets me. It's the second part of this quote. "These anti-Semites have no shame. They're abusing the image of a cartoon character one might at first seem appealing to harass and spread hatred on social media."
Now, for anybody who doesn't know, the ADL is the Anti-Defamation League. One major question for them is, it's the internet. So now that they've said, okay, this is bad, what do you do from there?
Right. Well, and most of the time, the Pepe the Frog meme isn't used in a anti-Semitic way. A lot of people just use the picture of him being sad whenever something sad happens. Like, they'll post it. Like, I've seen it where, like, "Oh, no, my dog's died," and people will post the Pepe the Frog meme. What's really interesting, too, is the ADL itself said, "Not all Pepes are bigoted. The meme fact," and this is quoting the group, "The mere fact that posting a Pepe Mep meme does not mean that somebody is racist or white supremacist. However, if the meme itself is racist or anti-Semitic in nature, or if it appears in a context containing bigoted or offensive language or symbols, then it may have been used for hateful purposes. So basically every meme ever?
That's so basically they're saying common sense. That's if something says, you know, I dislike this group of people or I hate this group of people, it's racist or bigoted? Offense here, that's not exactly news.
No, not at all. What they could say is basically, why are they focusing on Pepe then? I mean, you could say this about Harambe, you could say this about Doge, you could say this about any meme that's out there. Basically they're just saying don't be mean.
This has been the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast Nostalgic episode. I hope you guys had a good time. Now, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter. You can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, and GSMCpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.